What's going on, Blackest family? This is Brother Malcolm, and welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. Hope all is well out there. Before we start today, I want to make sure that I give everybody the connect info, because maybe you want to connect with us outside of this podcast. So on Twitter, please feel free to hit me up at Cali Yaley. That's C-A-L-I-Y-A-L-I-E. You can hit me up on email at cultureconnection@blackisonline.com. And feel free to leave comments at our phone number, 323-455-4219. So now that I've got that all out of the way, this week I wanted to talk about something that's going to be very important to many of us, and that is the presidential election. Now you may be asking, why is Brother Malcolm talking about politics on Culture Connection? Well, just like everything else in this country, culture is affected by the policies that are set by the president, the Congress, and the government that we've elected as our leaders. And the impetus for this conversation this week was this insanity that came out of the Mitt Romney campaign. And I'm just going to be doing a little bit of reading today, because we want to make sure we get our facts right, because what we don't want to do is pass around incorrect information. So this comes from Salon.com, which originally got their information from a website called Hyperallergenic. But let me just read to you something that Mitt Romney said in a Fortune magazine interview. He targets arts funding specifically, and he says the following. He said, first, there are programs I would eliminate. Obamacare would be being one of them, but also various subsidy programs. The Amtrak subsidy, the PBS subsidy, the public broadcasting station, the subsidy for the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities. Some of these things, like those endowment efforts and PBS, I very much appreciate, and I like what they do in many cases, but I just think they have to stand on their own rather than receiving money borrowed from other countries, as our government does on their behalf. I have to say I am disgusted and completely annoyed by this, I guess it's not rhetoric because it's what he believes and it's his platform. I want you for a moment to imagine a world where you didn't have a book. Imagine a world where your favorite artists, you did not hear them sing or play music. Imagine a world where there was no TV. Imagine a world where there were no magazines, no movies. Imagine a world basically with no entertainment. That's what life would be without the arts. I don't think people connect the two when they realize that when you're watching a movie, that requires skill of an artist, whether that's an actor, a director, a lighting designer, a scenic designer, a costume designer, a Foley, a grip. When you're listening to music, an artist is at work creating that music. And those people employ, and because of that artistry, those people employ tons of industries. And I know that the arts as a whole is an economic driver of this country. Just to put this all in perspective, I want to drop some numbers on you this week so you can listen to how ridiculous these ideas Mitt Romney is proposing. The National Endowment for the Arts has been receiving money for years. And let me just give you a breakdown. In 1966... the National Endowment for the Arts was appropriated $2,898,308. In 2012, the appropriation is $146 million and some change. Now you may say to yourself, wow, that's a huge jump in those years, and absolutely. But it pales in comparison to the national budget. The national budget was $3.6 trillion. Now, for those of you who aren't quick on the math, which includes me, I had to go pull up a calculator and find this percentage. That percentage is, the $146 million is such a small percentage of that $3.6 trillion that I had to ask someone who's an accountant and great with numbers. I was like, is this even a percentage? The percentage is 4% of the federal budget. Can you imagine that it's not even a half a percent of the budget? It's beyond that. And this man wants to take away the very thing that enriches our souls on a daily basis. I can't imagine a world where I couldn't listen to the genius and brilliance of Stevie Wonder or the genius and brilliance of the Bolshoi Ballet or the genius and brilliance of radio personalities on National Public Radio or the amazing documentaries that I've seen on PBS that have enriched my life because of the stories being told about other people that don't look like me or people who do look like me. I really want to encourage my audience and those who are a part of the Black Is Online family to really, really remember that while all of the other appropriations are very, very important, that a life spent without the arts would be a dreadful, dreadful life. Let me just tell you just a little bit of research that I've been doing, just some of the appropriations for the government. So, just looking at some of the major categories, for instance, from fiscal year 2011. So Medicare and Medicaid was $835 billion, or 24% of the budget. Social Security, $725 billion, or 20% of the budget. The Defense Department, $700 billion, 19%. Non-defense discretionary, $646 billion. And other, $465 billion, or 12%. And the interest was $227 billion, 6%. Now, when you think about, we're talking billions, trillions, and then millions. When you're talking about millions, and you're not even a percentage of the, you're not even a half a percent of the budget, and you want to cut that? In other countries, in Europe, for instance, the governments fully and wholly support artistic endeavors. And so people can actually make a career out of it. I was talking to someone today who was telling me that her friend works in UK as an actor, and his wife doesn't work in the arts industry. And she was saying that he supports their family on his acting salary working in the UK. I just want to be clear that people who work in the arts aren't playing around, and a real erudite gentleman of mine once told me that he did not like the word play as it referred to theater because people mistake it as playing. But when people put on theater, when they are in concert for you, when they are dancing for you, these are people who are actually, if you really want to break it down, they give up more than the average worker because they're giving of their soul. Many of us work on a daily basis and we give up maybe our brain space, or maybe we're giving up our physicality. But to give up your soul, to say that I present to you the human condition and that I'm going to pour out everything that's in my being so that you understand the angst, the joy, the frustration, all of the things that you hear, see in art, is something that I don't think most people really understand that sacrifice. Now, I'm not one to pit defense spending against the arts. Obviously, defense is important, but two wars later, we're obviously seeing that we could probably use less spending on wars and more spending on education. Notice that when I gave you those numbers, what the top numbers were, the non-defense discretionary and other. So that basically, you understand that non-defense discretionary and other, if I'm not mistaken, that other, you know, that makes up for everything else, everybody. Everything else in the budget that's not medical, Social Security, defense, all of that is left for the other. 12%. We got to figure out what our priorities are. I mean, I could have the same podcast about education and why education is not also a priority. And I don't want you to think that I'm on, you know, just for those who are conservative listenership, although I doubt if I have conservative listenership with my liberal views. But for those who are conservative, I fret not. I could not find anywhere on President Obama's campaign website that talked about this at all. At least Romney talks about in how he's going to spend, what he's going to decrease. So I'm like, I guess it's the lesser of two evils. At least we're on his map. But to him, this is the roadmap to building a simpler, smaller, smarter government. But on President Obama's website, unfortunately, it's not even under his issues, you know? And that's hard to really deal with. That's hard to understand, given just specifically since he was so supportive of artists coming through the White House over his 4 years. I just don't understand why it's not part of the discussion. The discussion in itself, to me, is important. So the point I'm trying to make is that neither of the candidates seem to have an interest in the arts, and it's frustrating. I just want us all to be aware of these critical moments. You know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the arts. The arts, they changed my life. They gave me a way to express myself. And then I didn't know that I could make a career out of it. When I made a career out of it, I've seen how the arts have changed people's lives. I've seen people in tears and emotionally wrapped up in a play and watching themselves on stage. Most recently, the Ebony reproduction of A Raisin in the Sun. I could feel the palpable tension and energy in the room as people watched a family that they could probably relate to or look at and say, wow, that's an American family. Look what they're going through. This isn't about pretend. You know, obviously we have commercial and populist art, but then there's also independent art. And these are forms of expression that without them, as the Democratic National Convention stated in their arts and culture platform, that they preserve our nation's heritage. Where would we be without jazz? There would be no hip hop. There would be no rock and roll without R&B. Or where would we be without classical music? Where would we be without Negro spirituals? Where would we be without a Monet or a Romare Bearden? Or where would we be without an Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater? Where would we be without the classic plays that have graced our stages and the new art forms that have come to be? So I would really encourage everyone, as we're all wrapping up for this election season, to really take a critical eye at the platforms of the candidates. And don't vote for President Obama because he's the incumbent and he's a black man, but because he's a president and he's someone who you believe will lead and will stand for the things that you believe in. Obviously, that's who I'm voting for. But I've done my research. And while President Obama is not perfect, what he does stand for, I support. And there are some things that I don't agree with. But you find me a candidate in the centuries that we've been a country that's one person agreed on everything a candidate said. So with that said, I want to thank you for joining Culture Connection this week. It's always a pleasure. Please hit me up again on Twitter at Callie Yaley, CalliYaLie. What? Hit us up on blackisonline.com. And shoot me an email, cultureconnection@blackisonline.com. And of course, please check out all of our other Black Is Online segments, podcasts, our editor, Casey Lehman, and all of her great interviews with awesome movers and shakers in the city of Los Angeles. You cannot miss the Brothers Lehman Happy Hour, Sports Happy Hour, all of these great programs on Black Is Online. Please check us out and please support us. We need you. We love you. We appreciate you. And as we end every week here on Culture Connection, remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And with that said, have a great week. This is Brother Malcolm. Peace.